Often lost amid the numbers debate around immigration and refugee status is the focus on those caught up in it. 13 is a lucky number for one husband, and decidedly unlucky for his wife, whose status in the overseas refugee camp where they met remains very much in limbo. Matt Katz reports on immigration, national security, and refugees for WNYC News, and focused on this Congolese couple in a report entitled Unsettled, a story from the global refugee crisis. Matt, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks very much, Dave.
To what extent was 13 lucky?
13 days before President Trump was elected, Andre Twendeli, a Congolese refugee, was able to fly into the U.S., land at JFK Airport, and move to Elizabeth, New Jersey, where he resettled and moved into an apartment with two other Congolese refugees. This was a big deal for Andre Twendeli. He spent 11 years in refugee camps in Africa after escaping violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
So not only did he defy the odds, less than 1% to be able to come to the United States, he was decidedly lucky to be alive.
Absolutely. He was a law student back at the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he led a protest against the president, still the president, President Joseph Kabila, who's something of an authoritarian there. He was arrested for the protest, taken to a prison, beaten, and then brought into the woods to be executed. But he had become friendly with one of the guards, and the guard decided to pretend to shoot him. So he watched his friends get shot in the head, firing squad killed, and then the guard pretended to shoot Andre. Andre played dead, and he waited until morning when the guards left. I spoke to him about this. He talked about how he checked to see if his friends were alive.
I tried to touch all of my friends there. They were dead, all of them.
He makes his way into the refugee camp, and he ends up having to stay as a refugee for 11 years. He had no contact with his family. He didn't know his parents died until he got to New Jersey 11 years later.
It's an amazing story of human triumph amid squalor, boredom, health problems, etc. It's also a love story.
Absolutely. You know, while he was living life, he fell in love. A woman walked into the camp. She was barefoot. She also had this unbelievably harrowing story of persecution in Congo. And after she was there for a few months, she met Andre. And, you know, as young men do, kind of fell in love at first sight, and they just started spending some time together as friends, and then they turned into something more, and she fell in love back with him, and they would date in the camp.
He had been there, what, 8 years when they first met?
Right.
And he was already embarked on the process to come, not necessarily to the United States, but to settle somewhere.
Yeah, exactly right. Officials from America, from the Department of Homeland Security, interviewed him in person. They agreed that he was a victim of political persecution and was not a security risk to live in this country. And they told him in October of 2016 that he was moving to America.
Let's go back to the numbers. Part of the pretext for turning off the spigot is the risk that terrorists could sneak in.
Right.
To what extent is that a legitimate concern?
I mean, the numbers don't indicate that it's a issue. The last time a refugee killed somebody in American soil in a terrorist attack was literally the 1970s. Nothing has happened. There have been no lethal terrorist attacks by refugees since. There's also an argument that they're a sap to the system financially. And it's true. Each refugee costs about $2,000 when they come into the country for resettlement costs. They're also eligible for Medicaid. If they work for a certain period of time, they're also eligible for unemployment. But studies show that after 20 years, they actually contribute more into the American system than they take out after they've been here for some time. They are vetted more than any other visitor into America. They are considered by advocates for immigrants to be model immigrants in that way, refugees are, because they've been checked so thoroughly and they are so thrilled, really, to be here considering where they came from.
A long time ago, Andre was a law student in Congo. In the court of law, he has filed an affidavit of relationship to try to get Lizette here. What does that mean, and how likely is that to wend its way through?
Well, Lizette had another opportunity to get here through a certain visa for relatives of refugees, but the Trump administration suspended that visa for a couple of months. A judge ordered it restarted, but it's unclear if it's being issued. So Andre had to file this affidavit of relationships, just certifying that Lizette is his wife, that she's a refugee, and that she should be vetted to come here. That paperwork has not really moved. The last we heard, there is just a huge backlog. The people who do refugee admissions have been reassigned to other matters within the Department of Homeland Security. And the numbers of refugees, the cap for how many refugees will be allowed into the country this year is 45,000. That's the lowest since the 1980 Refugee Act.
We, in our limited time, have presumably piqued the curiosity of listeners who I encourage to view the entire 40-minute report. We'll have a link to that at our website, whyy.org/news. Matt Katz, thanks so much for bringing the story to light and joining us at NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks for having me in, David.
Matt Katz reports on immigration, national security, and refugees for WNYC News.